Okay, I didn't know that our music director has a new name, Marco. Pastor Tony always like to call him Marcos, you know, your ex-president, okay? So we have Marcos Jr. here, okay, who is playing the guitar. Alright, okay, that's not my message. Okay, very good morning to all of you. Okay, this is the first time, okay, I'm up here to preach for the year 2023. I think the pulpit has been always handled by Pastor Tony, and it can be a little bit tiring, so he approached me to take over for today, not knowing that yesterday was the encounter. I was a little bit unwilling, okay, for the encounter to be held in the evening, because it's always our culture, okay, or our habit. Every time we are the one preaching, we spend the whole Saturday night, you know, waiting upon God and preparing. And by the time we came back from the prayer meeting, oh God, it was a little bit late for me. And I think last night, I didn't sleep very early. Got to wait for the Lord and get myself prepared, you know, pray it up, and then hear from the Lord and things like that until about maybe I think 1:30 in the morning. So I told Pastor Tony, you're very unfair, you know, when it is me that is preaching, you just slot in the night service like that. But anyway, yesterday was a very good service. Okay, I think we can sense the presence of God, and it's very good to see new leaders like Pastor Carlos, okay, he's the SP Dexinate, and Elder Winston, okay, chairing the whole thing. And that is the direction, okay, that we are now taking, releasing, okay, empowering the new leadership in preparation to take over the entire ministry in 3 years to come. Okay, God is very good. Are you alive? Okay, thank you, Brother Roland. Okay, I think today there was a breakthrough, all right, in the ministry that you are leading, and we are all felt the power and the presence of God. Am I correct? Praise God. Let's give the Lord a clap offering. Hallelujah. Praise God. If you have a Bible, kindly turn with me to the book of Luke, and I would like to share with you on chapter 5, verse 17 to 26. Normally, I do not preach from the New Testament or the Gospel, so to speak. I mean, I preach on the New Testament, but very seldom you will see me preaching sermon from the four Gospel. But this is the devo, okay, that I did in the beginning of this year, and it spoke to me, and I already had this sermon, I think, on the second week of January. That's why Pastor Tony gave this opportunity to me to share the word of God, which I thank him, okay, for sharing the pulpit with me. Alright, Luke chapter 5, 17 to 26, and I want to read to you from the ESV version. On one of these days, as he was teaching, Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there, who had come from every village of Galilee and Judea and from Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was with him to heal. And behold, some men were bringing on a bed a man who was paralyzed, and they were seeking to bring him in and lay him before Jesus. But finding no way to bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and let him down with his bed through the tiles into the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said, "Man, your sins are forgiven you." And the scribes and the Pharisees began to question, saying, "Who is this who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" When Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered them, "Why do you question in your hearts? Which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven you,' or to say, 'Rise and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." He said to the man who was paralyzed, "I say to you, rise, pick up your bed and go home." And immediately he rose up before them and picked up what he had been lying on and went home glorifying God. And amazement seized them all, and they glorified God and were filled with awe, saying, "We have seen extraordinary things today." Shall we pray? Father, this morning, hide me behind your cross. It's all about Jesus and nothing of me. And let Jesus' name be glorified through the sharing of your word. In the power of the Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name I ask and I pray. Amen. Nothing pleases God like faith. Hebrews 11 says, "And without faith, it is impossible to please Him." I stress the word impossible. "For whoever would draw near to God must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who seek Him. Excuse me. Excuse me. As a gospel-believing church and as a gospel-believing believers, we do not believe that our good works and even our self-righteousness can please God, because our salvation is by the grace of God through our faith in Christ. And our Christian living and our Christian service is an outflow of our gratitude to that gracious salvation provided by God in Jesus Christ. However, there are only two things we can do that may impress God. And the two things are our faith and our repentance. The Gospel of Matthew and Mark records two famous incidents which says that Jesus marveled at the faith of the Roman centurion, a Gentile. And again, He commended the faith of a Syrophoenician woman, again a Gentile. Our key text today reveals another incident that records how the faith of four men impresses Jesus. Let's look at the background of our key text. The news was out. Help was available for the sick. But a certain paralytic had no way to get to it. Physically disabled people like him were not only immobile, but usually poor. Useless to society and lacking help from the government, they normally lived as social outcasts. But some men knew this man's dilemma and came to his needs. They helped him get to the house, where Jesus was teaching. Yet enormous crowds made access impossible. Fortunately, the men were determined and resourceful. They literally tore the roof off in order to connect their friend with the helper. Luke says that Jesus saw their faith. In some version, it says Jesus noticed their faith. What made Jesus take special note of their faith? In today's sermons, I want to share with you four qualities that form the type of faith that grabs the attention of God. My title of my sharing, therefore, this morning is Faith That Grabs the Attention of God. And the outline of my sermon will compose of two major points. Number one, the four types of faith that grabs the attention of God. And number two, the one who poked a hole through heaven. Let's look at our main point, the four types of faith that grab the attention of God. What are the four qualities of faith that can grab the attention of God? Number one, faith that initiates. Jesus visited this house in Capernaum at a time when news about Jesus' teaching and miracles had reached every person in the kingdom. On this particular day, a large number of people had gathered in the house that Jesus was teaching in. His audience composed of two basic groups of Jewish people. The first group was the ordinary folks who enjoyed Jesus' teaching. The second group was made up of Pharisees and teachers of the law who had gone there to find fault with Jesus' teaching and not to receive. Then Luke makes a very important statement, and that is found in verse 17 of our key text. The power of the Lord was present for him. For who? For Jesus to heal the sick. Jesus could have healed many, yet there's no evidence in our key text to assume that Jesus performed any miracle at this moment of time. What was the problem? A safe assumption would be there was no sick, there were no deaf, no blind, no crippled or demon-possessed people in the midst of the meeting. Probably because no one had invited a friend or a neighbor in need to this rare occasion. It's foolishness to ask why the Lord did not perform any miracles when there were no sick, no blind, no deaf, no crippled or demon-possessed in the meeting. There must have been plenty of such kind of people in the neighborhood. Yet Jesus wouldn't go house to house looking for them. Do you know why? Because that is none of Jesus' business. Rather, it was their business in that barangay at a particular point in time to bring this kind of people before their God. Somebody says this: miracles are events in which God and man work together. Someone said, without man, God shall not. And without God, men cannot. The audience had their faith in Jesus. They were interested in his teaching. Sadly, none of them cared to take an initiative to bring the sick, the blind, the deaf, the crippled, or the demon-possessed into that meeting. Then, there was a third group. A much smaller group of men who had taken interest in Jesus' teaching. They heard that a great physician was in their town. They also had patuo in him. And these men, these four men's faith, their patuo is different from others. Unlike others who professed their faith but did not do anything about it, these four men decided to take a course of the initiative. They gave careful thoughts as to how they can use this rare occasion to bless someone. Then they remembered, in the midst of the barangay was a paralytic who lived in the same barangay as them, and therefore they brought him to Jesus. What does this mean for Christian believers this morning? Is this: the Bible says that faith without action is dead. Anyone can believe in the Gahom San Dios. Anyone can claim to have patuo. However, your patuo will remain dead as long as we fail to take an initiative. You cannot say, I believe in God, and yet do nothing. You believe that God heals, but if you don't take the initiative to bring the new ones here, or to bring the sick here, there will be no salvation, there will be no healing. I'll do my devotion, and my devotion now, okay, is on the book of Genesis. And this is something that amazed me. It talks about Abraham, of course. You know, when you read Genesis, the main character, alright, is always Abraham, because he was singled out to be the man of God, to be the representative of God, to bring the blessing of Yahweh, not only to the Jewish nation, but through him, the world will be blessed. So it's about Abraham. And in Genesis chapter 15 verse 6, I read about his faith. Abraham's faith is counted to him as righteousness, simply without him not doing anything, just believing in him, it was credited to him as righteousness. It was just like your faith and my faith. When you want to believe in Jesus Christ, you do nothing. All that God asks of you is only your patuo. You don't do anything to gain the favor of God. God only asks you to believe in what Jesus Christ has done for you at the cross, and immediately when you believe, straight away, righteousness is imputed to you. Same thing with Abraham. In Genesis 15:6, Abraham's faith is counted to him as righteousness, simply with him just believing in what God had promised him. But it did not stop there. In Genesis 22, the faith in Abraham became active along with his work. His faith in God was translated into action. How? By him obeying God through his sacrifice of Isaac on the altar. Abraham backed up his faith with action. Abraham's actions confirmed his faithful obedience to God. His faith resulted in obedience. It is not enough to say that I believe in God, but then it did not bear action. It did not translate into action. We are not saved by our works, but we are saved for good works. If you believe that Jesus can save, God needs you to take the initiative to connect the needy people with the saving message of Jesus Christ. A story is told about two Christian taxi drivers. They are really born again, but by profession they are taxi drivers. So what happened is that they provide free transport to the sick and demon possessed in their community, so that these people in need of God's help can easily walk into the weekly healing meeting conducted in their church. Today, I'm not saying that every one of you today must provide free transport to others so that they can come to church. Although I know that it is the culture of the Filipino church to always provide free transport for people in the barangay to come to church. Just look at Christ Commission Church. I was told that buses are mobilized in different districts of Metro Manila to fetch people to their church. That's why it's a mega church. You see, people take initiative. They offer free transportation to bring people to the house of God, so that they can be near to the message of God, so that they can be near to the presence of God, and miracles can take place. There are many other means you can help someone to encounter God's power. Maybe today you have no taxi to give free transportation to people, but definitely you can visit the people or the hospital in your area and offer to pray for the resident patients. I remember years ago, in order to fulfill essential community essential community team, many of you alright, cell leaders, you mobilize your cell members to the hospital, you bring in fruit basket, and you begin to pray for the sick. That is one way of taking initiative. Maybe some of you are working in a corporate office, in a call center. Don't just go there and call people, alright? Why don't you offer to pray for your sick co-worker? Why don't you offer to pray for your co-worker who is having problem? If you do so, that is another way of you exercising a faith that initiates. Another option would be to offer to pray for the needy people in your community. Have you done that before? Now is a good time to take an initiative. Are you afraid, of not praying for people because you are so afraid that God will fail you? Then remember the promise of Mark 16. And these signs will accompany those who believe. When you take the initiative, when you carry the name and you knock at people's door, in that name, they will drive out demons. You will drive out demons. You will speak in new tongues. You will pick up snakes with your hands. And when you drink deadly poison, it will not hurt you at all. And you will place your hands on the sick people and they will get well. Maybe one of the ways for the essential community to be launched this year is that just knock at the barangay's door. Don't ask anything and say that, can you allow me to come in and bless you? Just offer a prayer, a blessing to every household. And those that accept you, you can invite them to the house of the Lord. And those that reject you, never mind. No need to take out your shoe and shake the dust off in front of them. Move on to the next house. We all want to be blessed. Why can't the blessing come through you? Why can't you take the initiative? Because you are afraid. You are ashamed. These four men, they are not ashamed. They are not afraid. They took the initiative. They exercised a faith that initiates, and that grabs the attention of God. Nowadays, okay, our means of communication is always through text or WhatsApp. So many times, okay, I will be communicating with my daughters, I'll be communicating with my friends in Singapore, I'll be communicating with members. And many times, in order to authenticate my concern for anyone who is engaging a conversation with me through WhatsApp or text, I will always be the one to initiate a prayer at the end of their text. After listening to their problem, they may not ask me for prayer, but sometimes when they text, they will tell me what's their problem. Immediately I say, I will pray for you. Or, the next one, I will never say, I will pray for you. The next text I will send is, Father, I pray for my sister here. Then I will mention whatever needs that I see as a result, of conversing with them. I will detect their needs, through the conversation that they converse with me in the text. I purpose not to postpone their prayer request, but on the spot, I will type my prayer for the person who is in need and text my prayer back to him or her. Or if you are the one talking to me face to face on the spot, I will pray for you. And this has become my new habit. And also, because of the prayer card, I'm also learning to write down all the names of anyone who needs prayer in my prayer card. Categorize under suffering, if you're really going through suffering. Or if you're not going through suffering, but you're having some project, I will categorize you under my friends. I will put there what is your need that I need to pray for you. Last September, I was sitting on the cellar in the house of my eldest daughter. You all remember that last September, we flew back to witness the birth of my first grandchild. And there, at the cellar, she shared with us her difficulty of getting her dissertation published, much more to be given a grant by her institution, her workplace, which is called the A-STAR. It's a biochemical hub, okay, semi-private, owned by our government for her research. My daughter is a researcher. In a nutshell, she was voicing her inferiority complex as she was competing with the best of the best from Ivy League school. All the colleagues of joy, okay, 95% are graduates from Ivy League school like Harvard, okay, Stanford, and even Cambridge. Alright, now, you all know my daughter graduated from Philippines, and of course, I never had that expectation or ambition to expect her to be in one of these Ivy League school. My daughter was a graduate just from a state university of Singapore, known as NTU. While listening to her, I know deep in my heart that she has this covenant of Yahweh with her, but she has no faith to believe in Him. But I do have faith in Jesus for her. And instead of saying to her, Che, I will pray for you to get this grant, and then forgetting about it later on the spot, I took the bold initiative and I brought her insecurity and faithlessness before God. And I commanded by faith for God to prove to her His faithfulness to her. Like the four men who lowered the bed where the paralytic lay from the broken roof to where Jesus sat, I lowered my paralyzed daughter, who was paralyzed by her intelligent peers, right before Jesus, having this faith that Jesus would answer and show her that she is still noticed by Him. I prayed by faith and I left it there. And I totally forgot about this conversation. I totally forgot about this prayer. Then in December, 2 months after I prayed, Joy texted me with happiness, informing that her company A-Star granted her 12 million pesos for her research. It was so incredulous. Weeks before, her colleagues had texted her, discouraging her that perhaps she was already rejected, because for months A-Star did not reply to her application. And moreover, she was not in work for 4 months due to the maternity leave. And so she thought, because I was not in the office and I'm not as intelligent as the Ivy League colleagues, therefore I stand no chance. And she accepted her rejection. But now, the good news came, informing her otherwise. And after the announcement, she began to thank Pastor Tony and me for praying for her. And in the text, she kept zeroing on me. Especially you, Mommy. Thank you, Mommy. Thank you for praying. At least twice, she zeroed in on me. I was wondering why she kept pointing at me. I totally forgot about what I prayed. I totally forgot that I really prayed for her. I had forgotten about praying for her. But she remembered it was me who took the initiative to pray for her on the spot. And she saw how God honored my prayer. Praise the Lord. Give God the glory. Now, to you, this may not seem much, but later on, my daughter texted me that this grant is a national grant by the Singapore government that involves not only her company by the name of A-Star, but also National University of Singapore and National Technological University of Singapore too. So from A-Star alone, there were 150 applicants for the grant, but only 9 was approved, of which Joy was one of them. Praise the Lord. Now, I was wondering, why did I forget? Why did I forget the prayer for her? Because, remember, during the pandemic, I realized that my two daughters have allowed their success to go into their head. And I purposed in my heart that I will never want to pray for their success anymore, but I want to pray for their character development. But at that point in time in September, when Joy was just voicing out, I know that she will not, because she's a very prideful girl. She will not tell us the weaknesses, but from the story, I can sense that she was very, very inferior. She was not happy in her job because she didn't have a nurturing boss. She had a boss that always did not know how to keep balance, and all the intelligent brains would always leave A-Star. And she was, in fact, telling me that she wanted to resign. But I felt that she should stay on. Together with them, I felt that she shouldn't resign, but stay on and allow God, you know, to humble her in the midst, you know, of this intelligent pool, not to humiliate her, but in the humility to make her realize that she needs to depend on God more than others. Amen? Now, this year, I decided not to follow the Bible reading guide, which I've been using for more than 15 years. So last year I changed already. Last year I decided not to also use the reading guide. Last year I learned to read the Bible as a whole, because I want to know the whole 66 book. But this year I decided to do an ESV study guide. And since the new year, I've been enjoying my ESV study guide on Genesis, Psalms, 1 Chronicles and Luke. And again, was studying on the book of Genesis 20. I learned about this incident where, because of unknown reason, Abraham took the wife and journeyed down to Gerar, where Abimelech was. And in the fear of his life, he told a half-truth that Sarah was his sister, and Abimelech was attracted by the beauty of Sarah and took her into his harem. And this is what God recorded in Genesis 20 verse 7. God said that you have to return Sarah to Abraham, for he is a prophet, so that he will pray for you and you shall live. But if you do not return her, know that you shall surely die, you and all who is yours. Now, the ESV study guide comments this. Abraham is the first person in the Bible to be designated a prophet, the very first person. And in this context, attention is drawn to his ability to intercede on behalf of others. One of the characteristics of a great prophet. When I read this commentary, I realized that many, many times, countless of times, my children had asked for my prayers. And I prayed for them, and many of my prayers were answered. It suddenly dawns on me that God has gifted me this prophetic intercession, and I must not keep this gift to myself. I must take the initiative that put this gift to use. To lower any person who's paralyzed by life, paralyzed by sin, paralyzed by problem, right to the very presence and power of God, so that there is a divine exchange going on, so that there is a God encounter. Our church today as a whole, especially the leadership, has been activated prophetically. And as, you know, the prophetic anointing has rested on many of the leaders here, you have the unction to pray and intercede for people who are paralyzed by life. And let me tell you, God will hear your prayer. God will honor your prayer as a prophetic intercessor. But are you taking the initiative to release the word to people? Are you taking the initiative to release that prayer for people? Are you taking the initiative to declare healing for people, to declare salvation for people? Sadly, many of us, we want our own convenience, and we hide the gift just by putting the lamp, you know, below the table, and it cannot shine. These four guys, they had the faith to initiate. They had the faith to initiate that God might do something, and God would do something to their paralytic friend. The paralytic in this story revealed not only physical healing, but spiritual healing. The four guys, the four friends brought him for healing, but instead, this guy received salvation at night. He became a born-again Christian simply because few men wanted to help him. Helps. It's a very strong channel that manifests God's power. It provides opportunities for personal evangelism. Do you think your chances of witnessing are slim? Then help people when they need it. And the help will definitely open the door for personal evangelism. You tell people that God is great, but then they need help. And then you close your ears to them. Yesterday, I was laughing at my husband. An old man rang our bell. Very old man. And Pastor Tony opened the gate and mistook him to be a beggar and took 100 pesos to give him. And the old man said, "No, sir, I'm not asking for your money. I'm here to chop down your tree." You see, my owner was making noise. That there was this tree, according to your Filipino culture, is a Dimalas tree. He said that this is the tree where the duende stayed. And this is a tree that has roots. And the tree, you know, what do you call that? The tree has branches that spread outside my fence. And many, many cars from Ilolo Supermarket, especially the vans, would love to park there because it's very shady. But then the trees began to have many, many roots that cling on to the inside the wall and outside the wall. And so the owner said, "Must chop down this tree because it's Dimalas, and then if the roots continue to grow, it will, you know, chop the wall and the whole wall will collapse." So she requested that we chop it down. My reply is, this house is not mine, and I'm not the one that planted the tree there. So if you want me to chop, you pay for it. So we engage this chopper, okay? She used to chop a tree down. And he ever came to my house to chop down a fruit tree, they kept dropping the bungas, roof coal, until my roof has a hole, and when I'm cooking, when the rain comes, I'm also wet. So I was very angry during the pandemic. I called the staff, get somebody to chop the tree. It was him, but I couldn't recognize him. But he came, tigulang siya, very, very old. And not only siya lang, another tigulang, dua ka tigulang, and he chopped, boom. Boom, boom. I say, "Oh my God, is my wall going to collapse?" Maybe it's not going to collapse because of the tree, but it's going to collapse because of his, you know, bolo or whatever, you know. And Pastor Tony felt for him. Pastor Tony said, "Do you want me to lend him my chainsaw?" I say, "Even if lend him, he has no strength to even lift it up." So can you imagine the kindness and the thoughtfulness of my husband? He rang the bell instead of saying, "Go away." He took out 100 peso and gave to that old man. He said, no, I'm the chopper of your tree." I'm saying that many times we are very skeptical about helping people who come near our door. Like children who ring the bell, we get agitated. We get, you know, angry because, as I said, we are very cynical. We always see the evil in other people's motive. But let me tell you, no matter what you say, God expects us to help the unbelievers. Even a beggar. Even a beggar. Whether it's justified or not justified, give. 1 peso will not cause you to go bankrupt. 10 peso will also not cause you to go bankrupt. For Pastor Tony, he gives 100 peso, it will not make us more impoverished. Why? Because the Bible expects us to help people in need. The Bible says pure and undefiled religion before God the Father is this: to care for orphans and widows in their misfortune and to keep oneself unstained by the world. James 1:27. So these 4 guys, they didn't care whether the paralytic deserved it or didn't deserve it. In fact, to be honest spiritually, the paralytic didn't deserve it. His paralysis was a result of his sin. It was because of his sin. He deserved it. Some of you, if you play with sin, it will result in physical paralysis. If spiritually you can't, you know, playing with your life, then it will result in physical paralysis. He deserved it. But the 4 friends didn't care. The 4 friends just wanted to help him. And therefore, they exercised the faith that initiated. It wasn't the paralytic faith that impressed Jesus. It wasn't the paralytic faith that grabs the attention of Jesus. But it was the faith of these 4 friends. And Jesus responded to their faith and healed the man. For better or worse, a man's faith affects others. No man can make another person a Christian, but a person's words, a person's action, and a person's love will give the person a chance to respond. So brothers and sisters, let's look for opportunity to bring your friends and your loved ones to the living Christ. It will require the same initiative as these 4 guys to step out so that you can see salvation and healing. Number 2. The second kind of faith that grabs the attention of God. Faith that persists. The house in which Jesus was teaching was full because there was a large crowd pushing around and the entrance was blocked. Carrying a paralytic and pushing through the thick wall of humans was virtually impossible. Our heroes of faith had walked into a hopeless situation. At least it seemed so. These were the options available to them then. Blame God. Or blame each other. Or blame the crowd for not letting them through. Or even worse, blame the paralytic for his own misfortune. But these 4 guys, they chose none of the above. Their faith was so persistent that they were not ready to give up so easily. Like I said just now, miracles are occasions where God and man work together. They patiently discuss with each other and figure out a clever plan. Now, this is the layout. This is the floor plan of a typical Palestinian or a Jewish peasant's house. Let's look at the picture. It was usually a small one-room structure with a flat roof, accessible by means of an outside staircase, as you can see in the picture. The roof itself was usually made of wooden beams with thatch, okay, maybe like nipah, and compacted earth, compacted soil or mud in order to shade the rain. Sometimes tiles were laid between the beams and the thatch. This man, as they couldn't push through the crowd, carried the paralytic man up the outside stairways to the roof, dug up the compacted thatch and earth and removed the tiles and lowered the man through the now exposed beam of the floors below. Their faith was not only a faith of initiative, their faith was a faith of persistency that captured the attention of God, and that's why Jesus performed the miracle. Let's look at picture number 2 of the 4 friends letting down the paralytic. Can you see? It's very dramatic. There were crowds seated there, you know, the Pharisees, the self-righteous Pharisees sitting there, and then there were ordinary people all inside the house, and in the middle, boom, from the roof came down this paralytic man. By the 4 men who opened up the roof. Can you see the picture? What does this mean for Christian believer concerning faith that persists? Is this: when faced with situation, many times we give up very soon, only to find out much later we were inches away from the solution at the time we decided to give up. In Christian ministry, many people have faith to initiate, but only a few have faith to continue through hardship. The Lord provides a way for those who keep pushing. Persistency is like pushing against a large rock that God has ordered us to push, but doesn't move even by half an inch. After years of pushing, we conclude that we have failed because the rock never moved. Such thoughts are grave mistakes because we are called only to push the rock but not to move it. God is the one who will move the rock and he will do it in his own time. when you pray, brothers and sisters, do not cease to push. What do you mean push? Pray until something happens. P-U-S-H is the acronym for pray until something happens. Jesus emphasized the importance of persistent prayer in his parable about the widow and the unjust judge. Ceasing to pray indicates a lack of faith in your prayer life. And the book of James strictly warns against faithlessness or unfaithfulness in prayer. I ask you this morning, how important is it for you to see your friends and family members come to Christ? Most of us will say that it's very important and properly pray for them regularly and look for ways to influence them to receive Christ. But then after years and years of praying and your relative still remains adamant in their Roman Catholic faith, what happens? You give up praying for them. You were not persistent in your prayer for their salvation. But these four friends, they were so persistent in bringing their friends to Jesus that they actually took off a section of the roof and lowered their friend through it to where Jesus was. I remember that the devil always wanted to drop the call of God off my life by using sudden death of my loved ones to distract me in my mission field. Upon arriving at Iloilo City in April 1986, our first time here in the Philippines as missionary, an urgent call came from Singapore informing me of the death of my eldest brother. And that was less than 2 months or 2 or 3 months after my arrival. My boss asked me if I wanted to fly back for the funeral. I said no, because at that time I knew if I were to fly back, my parents would never allow me to return to Iloilo again. I was so on fire at that time, April 1986, so on fire to do the work of God in the mission field that I didn't want anyone, including my loved ones, to distract me. 3 years later, I mean, a lot of things transpired, you know, married Pastor Tony, got pregnant, you know, 3 or 4 months after my marriage, and I was 7 months pregnant with Joy. And we were in Cebu Evangel celebrating Chinese New Year with a steamboat with my boss plus other Singaporean missionaries when another phone call arrived from Singapore informing me that my second brother was dying, and my dad talked to me on the phone and asked me to fly back to see him for the last time because my second brother was my father's favorite. I couldn't because my boss wasn't happy about me returning. Then 3 years after the death of my second brother, another phone call came while I was in crossing the river in Libertad, where Pastor Carlos was a missionary then, informing me of the sudden death of my dad. And that was my last blow, as I never expected my dad to go this way. My faith was tested. My faith was shaken. But God comforted me and encouraged me to hang in there and to go on. But I told God, God, 3 relatives taken to hell was more than I could take. After the death of my dad, I decided to take the kingdom promise of salvation for my family by force. I entered into full fast for 21 days or even 30 days since the death of my dad until 2011. I mean, before our problem in Singapore, every year there's always fasting. And you all of you, you fasted partial fast, but for me, I take it another level higher. I went by myself, 21 days full fast. Sometimes I ask the church to do, but many times I journey this full fast all by myself for the sake of my mom, for the sake of my remaining relatives. And for many years, I persisted in faith for the salvation of my remaining siblings and my mom. Then a few years later, another phone call came informing me that my third brother had cancer. This time, I didn't care if my boss liked it or not. Audaciously, I request to return to Singapore to share the gospel to him. I was crippled at that time. I couldn't walk. My this leg was crippled because I had a very bad fall at the car park at Quezon after the third service. It was dark. I didn't see a big rock. And as I was walking towards the car of Pastor Tony, I tripped over the big stone and I became crippled. When I arrived in Singapore, I was, you know, a young girl hobbling around with this, you know, crippled foot. But I didn't care. I hobbled myself all the way to my brother's house with the pastor. And I told the pastor to share the gospel to my dying brother. I know that some of you, your mother, your father is dying. I know that some of you, you have relatives that is your immediate relative, and it's very hard for you to share the gospel like me. It's very difficult for me to share the gospel to my third brother. It's easier for me to share the gospel to you. Am I a hypocrite? No. It's that familiarity breeds contempt. A prophet is not without honor except in his own house. Therefore, I brought, I think, three pastors. Three pastors went with me to my brother's house. So I just introduced my brother. I said, brother, this is my pastor. This is my senior pastor. This is the assistant pastor. And I think Pastor Kok Hua was the one who shared, because he can speak Mandarin. And I cannot speak Mandarin well. I can speak Hokkien, but not Mandarin. And he shared the gospel in King James Version. Very good. But at the end of it, after they go home, my brother mocked at Jesus. But I know how I melt his heart. That's why I told you. It's still the care. When I went home that time, my brother's cancer was announced to the whole church. A lot of people gave me love offering. I received a lot of love offering for my trip that time. Pastor Tony didn't fly back with me. I brought Joy back with me, Lang. A lot of money came in. And you know what? I showed my care to my brother. I took the initiative to show my care, first of all, by flying back to see him, to show to him I care for you. Even though he was the very brother out of my four brothers who persecuted me very, very badly for being a missionary. He was the one. But I love him, because I will never forget how when my father and mother separated and were divorced, and all our seven siblings were scattered. Only two of us were singles. Five of them were already married. We have no family. Adeline, my second sister, also had no family. Adeline followed my elder sisters and her husband. For me, I know where to go. And it was this brother that opened up his home for me to stay. So I'm ever, ever grateful to him. At that time, I was taking my board exam. I need some peaceful environment to study. And he provided me with that. To cut the story short, I do not know how to harden, how to remove the hardness in his heart. But the thought came, just bless him. I received not only hundreds of dollars, but thousands of Singapore dollars. On the spot, after they left, I took the money and I gave it to him. When he opened up, he saw it was about 1,000, he was shocked. And then I also offered my help, because they have no guts. But you know me, I'm very gutsy. I was very angry with the doctor that misdiagnosed him. You know, with a crippled leg again, I walked to the hospital that gave the wrong diagnosis and confronted the doctor. Not only that, I contacted those people in the church that works in the health service to introduce to me oncologists. And I tell you, in Singapore, if you just consult one oncologist, one consultation, don't talk about the chemo, just consultation is 42,000. Consultation lung. And that one, when my sister saw me give money to my brother, my sister chipped in. Because my sister at that time, Adeline, was very rich. She chipped in because she felt bad that she's not doing anything. I set the ball rolling because of the faith that initiates. Then, while waiting in the lobby, because the hospital has a lot of parking problem, we all got to wait for my sister to come. You know, he was standing there, you know, and another love offering was given to me. I just went to him and I took the money and I slot it in his pocket. I just went, brother, this is for you. Don't worry about today's consultation. It's covered by a second sister. And this is additional I give. That's the second night I gave. You know what? The lobby was filled with people. And my sister-in-law was there. He was there. And he stood there and he cried. He broke down and he cried. He just cried and cried. And my brother is a very, very proud man. He's a very big size. Among all of us, he's the biggest size, very stout. And he cried. And he just cried, and I know he wanted to leave. And I just hugged him, you know, I just hugged him. I'm the youngest, no authority, but just the youngest. And what I could do is just to persist for him. I said, brother, you have to trust in Jesus. I said, brother, as a sister, I will do my very best to vindicate you. But you have to trust in Jesus. That care became the open door for personal evangelism. And to cut the story short, I prayed for healing. No healing came. But Jesus was more concerned about his salvation. When he was gasping for breath, two pastors from Evangel went, and he accepted the Lord with a resuscitator in his mouth praying the sinner's prayer with tears running in his eyes. And I know that God saved my brother. Why? Because we, as Christians, we persisted in prayer and fasting for the loved ones. I ask you, brothers and sisters, if you say you care for your relative, words is not enough. Action speaks louder than your word. Faith, translated in action, will be the open door for personal evangelism, leading to salvation. My third brother was saved. He was the first in the Ang family to be saved. And I was so happy. Very, very happy. And when he died, I know he's in the Lord. Because that profession of faith is genuine. After saying a sinner's prayer, less than 15 minutes, he died. And the word is, no resuscitation. They don't want to have resuscitation. He just passed on. Then years later, you know the story. Still refusing to let go. I still persisted in fasting and prayer for my sister and for my mom. My sister Adeline and my mom. And you all know the ending. My mom became so open to the gospel. My mom had aneurysm. And she knew any time it's going to burst and it's going to die. And every time during our follow, when we go back, we will share the gospel. Pastor Tony will be the one to share the gospel. Share the gospel. Pastor Tony will say, Ma, you have to accept Christ. If not, you will go to hell. And if this thing bursts, you will go to hell. And I came in and said, yes, Mom. Do you know that your aneurysm, when it bursts, you only have 30 seconds of consciousness. After that, you will fall into comatose. You have only 30 minutes, not 30 seconds. You have 30 minutes to call on Jesus. And I begin to share the gospel. Two of us begin to work on her. Very persistent. Share and share and share, you know. And then I say, Mom, if you do not know how to say the sinner's prayer, when let's say the whole thing collapses and you're in pain, just call on the name of Jesus Christ. I say in Chinese, this I kill Zhu Yin Mia. So they, I say, call upon Jesus as your Savior and He will save you. And she caught the whole word. She caught the whole phrase. And what happened was that she knew that her days are limited, but she didn't know when she would die. And one Easter, she walked to Evangel Church that is beside our house. My mother's house, which is my house, my ancestor's house, you know, it's just beside the church. Evangel is just next door. It's like here, walking to Jollibee. She walked to the church by herself on Easter. And please, I want to tell you, my mom is a baptized Buddhist. They wear black robe. It's equivalent to those houses that you travel in a subdivision and you saw them pasting on their wall the ceramic of Jesus' image and Virgin Mary image on the gate. That means they are really sealed for Roman Catholicism. She wear a black robe, means I'm sealed. I can never, you know, recant my decision to be a Buddhist. But it's a taboo for a Buddhist to go into a church. But she went. And Pastor Mary was so surprised to see her. Pastor Mary shared the gospel. Pastor Mary visited her. And after the church, Pastor Mary wanted to chaperone her back. But Pastor Mary had to minister someone. And Pastor Mary asked Leighton to chaperone her back to my house. Later on, truly, what I predicted came to pass. The thing burst. And instead of 30 minutes to leave, my mom had 2 hours. And that's where Joy and Ben were there. And they managed to put a phone in her. She was ready with all the tubes going on. And that's where I talked to her. I said, can you remember what I taught you? I said, call on Jesus now. In Hokkien, call on Jesus, save my soul, save my soul. And Joy said that as I was, you know, talking loudly, the tears came down from her, even though she was semi-conscious. My mom was saved. And you know the story in 2020. Because of all the various years of faith that persists in prayer and fasting, the hardest to be born again was my sister Adeline. But God allowed me to be trapped in Singapore so that I can share the gospel persistently to her. And 1 week before I fly back, she said the sinner's prayer along with me, together with tears running. And my sister got saved. Brothers and sisters, a faith that was let down does not mean that God does not care. It means that you have to persist in your faith. Hope against hope, faith against faith. And surely, answers will come. Again, when I was reading about Abraham, in the ESV study guide, this verse jumped out to me. It says that after this thing, God tested Abraham. And in the commentary of the ESV study guide, it says this, testing must clearly be distinguished from tempting. God does not tempt anyone to do evil. God, however, does test the commitment of people. Today, maybe it's very hard for you to save your loved ones. Don't you see that this hardness is a test of God upon your commitment. How committed are you to save your family members? How committed are you to save your friends? I finally realized that the death of my first three relatives in the 1980s and the 1990s was God testing my commitment to His call. God was testing my obedience to His call. And God was also testing my persistence to believe Him against all odds to save my difficult loved ones. For many years, I always feel inferior to Pastor Tony's family. He came to the Philippines, one decision, and the subsequent year, one by one, all got saved. And mine never got saved. Never got saved. I came here in 1986. My family started getting saved starting from year 2004. 1986 to year 2003, no answers at all. Instead, I see the contrary, one by one going to hell. By 2004, there was a breakthrough. Why? Because God gave me the faith to persist, to believe that your promise will never fail. It will not come back to me void. It will not come back to God void. It will not come back to me void. It shall be accomplished. To save three hard nut Buddhists, full pledge. All my family are baptized in Buddhism. But three got saved. My third brother, my mom, and my second sister. Hallelujah. Let's give the Lord a clap of praise. Today, I want to give you hope. I want to stir up your faith to believe for your relatives that salvation can come to your household. And if you lose any one of them, like me, you may feel sad and condemned, but remember, even that failure was already covered by Jesus Christ on the cross for you. Don't be crippled by the past. Don't be paralyzed by your sin of omission. Accept the forgiveness of God, the healing of God in your soul, in your psyche, and continue to press in. Press on to believe for the salvation of your loved ones. I say this because our church is 37 years old. Meaning to say that two of us are getting older, and that also means that your mom, your dad are older than before. And their time is limited. Share the gospel. Amen? Next. The third kind of faith. Faith that justifies. Jesus noticed the paralytic's need for spiritual healing as well as physical healing. Something new, no one knew. That is why Jesus pardoned the paralytic sin. Meaning to say that the reason why this man became paralyzed was because of his sin. Jesus knew that the problem to this physical problem, the root of the spiritual problem, he has sinned. Can you remember Jesus warned the paralytic even at the pool of Bethesda, whom he had healed, not to continue in sin, and so that he can prevent something worse from happening to him. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees began to say to themselves, who is this man who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sin but God alone? The Pharisees and the teachers were right in their opinion that only God can forgive sin. But they were wrong in the sense that they couldn't recognize that Jesus was the Son of God. They couldn't recognize that Jesus was the one that has the same essence as God the Father. They failed to recognize that Jesus has the authority to forgive sin. Because they did not believe that Jesus is God. They did not have the faith that justifies. God offers the same forgiveness given to the paralytic to all who believe. The Greek word forgive is aphemi. It means forgiven. And the meaning is to leave or let go. To give up a debt. To send away from oneself. The English word forgiveness means a relationship has been renewed despite a wrong that has been done. But the act of the wrongdoing against you cannot be erased or changed. So the notion of aphemi, however, goes beyond human forgiveness. When Jesus said, thy sins are forgiven you, the word forgive that is far beyond human forgiveness. Because the word aphemi in the Greek means putting away of sin in two ways. What are the two ways? Number one, the law and justice are satisfied because Jesus paid the penalty the sin deserved. Therefore, sin can no longer be held against you as a believer. Putting away also means that the guilt caused by your sin is removed and replaced with Christ's righteousness. And that is what I call justification, where the believers are so forgiven that in God's eyes, it is as if they have never sinned. Because of you? No. Because of Jesus' death. His merits that he has performed on the cross has been imparted and imputed to you. That is called justification. A faith that justifies. What does that mean to you as a Christian believer? Today, if you enter this church and you are carrying a heavy burden for the sins you have committed and are still committing, then I want you today to repent and confess all to Christ and receive His forgiveness. He can cleanse your conscience from guilt. He puts away those sins and remembers them no more. Neither should you. And what does this mean for believers? Is this, like the paralytic in this incident, we too have two kinds of needs. First, we have a physical needs, like this man, healing. Or maybe for you, you may not need healing today. You need financial issues to be solved. You have problems in the marriage. You need God to help you to smooth out your marriage problem. Or second, we have another need, spiritual need. We are all spiritual beings created to have a relationship with God. Unfortunately, our sinful nature separates us from God. So what are we going to do? Is it necessary to accept Christ? Yes. Because the Bible says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. It also says the penalty of our sin is death. That's why this man is paralyzed. And if he died that time, he will go to hell. Religion teaches that salvation can be earned through works. Our religion, Christianity, is the only religion that teaches us we cannot use work to save ourselves. We can only use the justification of Jesus Christ to save ourselves. So what must we do? The Bible says in Romans, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Now, does the Bible say that if I just say this word lang and believe that Jesus come back from the dead, I will be saved? I'm more lang? No. Even if you live a horrible life, just by confessing, it's not enough. You have to follow Jesus' teaching and believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. In the Bible, to confess means to agree with the will of God, to agree with the word of God, to agree that God is correct in what He says. And when you call Jesus Lord, it means that He's a leader and you learn and start to follow Him. So salvation is not only lip service. Salvation is a change of entire direction where you put Jesus as the Lord and you follow Him. Amen. So this is the third kind of faith, the faith that justifies. Only Christianity is the kind of faith that will justify you based on Jesus' merits on the cross. Number four. The fourth kind of faith that grabs the attention of God is faith that obeys. In reply to the Pharisees and teachers of the law, Jesus asked them, why do you question this thing in your hearts? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, rise, take up your bed and walk? Of course, which is easier to say? The easier one to say is your sins are forgiven. Why? Because no one can tell if it happened or not. You can't validate your salvation. Therefore, he then told the man, rise, pick up your bed and go home. Then the paralytic got up, walked out in full view of the gathering. Jesus not only forgave the man for his sin, but validated them with a miracle. Jesus also commanded the paralytic to get up from his bed and go home, to which he obeyed in faith. What does this mean for you and me as believers? There are two implications here. First, it's nothing but foolishness to wait until God does everything. Number two, God helps us, but He also demands that we obey Him in faith. You know, many times when the preacher preaches the word of God and you believe, and the preacher asks you to come forward to be prayed for, who wants to accept Christ? You know that you need Christ, but it's so embarrassing. It's so embarrassing to raise your hand to come forward. So you put your hand down. Or sometimes the message speaks to you, but your pride is so high, I don't want to go up. After that, I'll be classified as the sin mentioned in the sermon. So you're too prideful to come. Or some of you, you're too lazy to walk out from your seats and walk forward. But you only come and ask the pastor to pray for you after the service ends. That is an act of disobedience and a sign of laziness. Faith that obeys means if what you say is this, alright, and you ask me to repent, right then I obey you, I come forward by faith. I obey you by faith, I make the first step to come out to the altar. Then you will see miracles happening. Last night, so many, one whole string of young people came out to be filled in the Holy Spirit. And I saw many of you standing there like that. Let me tell you, you won't get filled. You won't get filled. You know why? Because you don't have the faith that obeys. What do you mean faith? The Bible says, open your mouth and I'll fill you. If you're like that, you know, close, how is the Holy Spirit going to fill you? Normal logic will tell you that if you want to fill the baude and you close the baude, how is the baude going to be filled? You have to open up the cover of the baude in order for the water to fill. So you can open your mouth. That's why, you know, when the worship leader is, you know, initiating the worship, you should join in by faith, obey. Just praise God, just praise God. And when you continue to praise God in Ilongo in English, the language will be changed suddenly without you knowing, without you making an effort, without you, you know, helping God. All God wants you, just obey, just open your mouth. Open that channel. Next, second point. The one who poked a hole in heaven. This morning, we marvel at the faith of the four friends who had the faith to initiate, the faith to persist, so that the paralytic friend could experience the faith that justified and the faith that caused him to obey. The God encounter as a result of these four different types of faith exercised by the four friends and the paralytic resulted in kaluwasan and healing, both. But this morning, I want all of you to look at another worst paralytic, and that is you and me. All of us are the worst paralytic than this man in the book of Luke. Like the paralytic, we are all immobilized by our sin. Heaven to us is like that roof in the house. It blocks us from God and heaven. I can say that heaven is like a zinc roof to all of us before we found Christ. We cannot penetrate God and God cannot come to us. But then, there was this ultimate friend who is the greater four friends by the name of Jesus. 2,000 years ago, he took the initiative to come to us first by becoming a man born in the same likeness as you. He's God, but he's born as a man. He lived a life of righteousness, going around healing and preaching the good news. Yet nobody appreciated him. He was ridiculed, mocked, denied, rejected, betrayed, and falsely accused, resulting in a crucifixion. Before he died, he voiced his fears, his weaknesses and agony at the Garden of Gethsemane. Yet he never backed down, even though his three disciples backed down from him. He set his face towards Jerusalem, persistent in his faith to go to the cross. On the road to Golgotha, he fell beneath the weight of the heavy cross, yet he persisted in walking up the Calvary Hill on the cross. The ridicule of men, the cruelty and the pain of the nails, the public humiliation of his nakedness, his thirst and bleeding did not stop him from coming down from the cross. He persisted in his suffering till the end for us. For what? So that by dying in our place, he became the paralytic man, paralyzed on the cross for your sin and my sin. He took our place. He took our paralysis. We are supposed to be paralyzed. We are supposed to be immobilized. We are supposed to be the one not able to move forward, not able to move upward towards God. But by his persistence in atoning death, his one-time offering of his own life became the very propitiation of God's wrath. What is this high-sounding word propitiation? The appeasement. The appeasement of God's wrath so that God and heaven are open to us again. I say again, the atoning death of Jesus Christ, through that death, he poked a hole in heaven so that God the Father today can come through and justify any one of us who come to him in any paralytic state, be it a spiritual paralysis or physical paralysis. And because of Jesus, our ultimate friend, we can be lowered by his grace right to the feet of God the Father to hear this word from our Father God. Your sins are forgiven you. Rise and walk. Because Jesus had initiated, because Jesus had persisted, because Jesus had justified, we therefore are able to obey him today, to rise from our paralytic state and walk. I do not know what crippled you today. I do not know what paralyzed you today. It may be fear. It may be your insecurity. It may be your worries that paralyze you. It may be your hurt that paralyze you. It may be your sin that paralyze you. It may be your guilt that paralyze you. But let me tell you, somebody died a paralytic death on the cross. Four limbs are all immobilized so that today you can be set free and walk. Rise and walk. You can obey him. Because the very faith that Jesus had, the faith that initiated, the faith that persisted for you and me, the faith that justified is within you. And today we can obey his command by faith to believe that we can walk again. I say unto thee now, I say to thee the words of Jesus, rise, pick up your bed and go home. You don't have to be nailed to your circumstances, to your sin, to your fears, to your idols. You can be set free. And that is the message. All God wants You cannot do anything to buy yourself salvation, but this is the thing that you can do. Have a faith that initiates, persists, a faith that justifies, and a faith that obeys. And that will grab the attention of God. And miracles, healing, and salvation will take place. Shall we bow our heads to pray? Musician? Can you sing this song? I believe in Jesus. I want all of you to stand. You all know what is the meaning of paralysis. To be paralyzed means to be immobilized. Look at the COVID, the lockdown. It has immobilized our freedom, immobilized our businesses, immobilized our church attendance, immobilized our ministry, immobilized even our finance. And we need someone who can take the initiative to bring us to where help is available and to lower us right to the very feet of Jesus Christ. In fact, the four friends today is actually your greater friend, Jesus Christ. He's not only your greater friend, but he has become the ultimate paralyzed man. So that today, all the things that paralyze you, he will absorb. And in exchange, give you his risen life. A life that rises above the things that immobilizes you. So that you can rise and not lay down. So that you can walk and not be paralyzed. I say to you, salvation is here. Healing is here. You need healing for your finance. You need healing for your relationship. You need healing for your heart. You need healing for your mind. You need healing for your family. Do you need salvation for your loved ones who is sick and dying soon? And what are you going to do? Initiate. Initiate. Help. Show them physical help. Physical care. Persist, run the second mile. The hardest heart, like my third brother, a big man, a very proud man, very big. I'm not saying fat, but he's big. Broke down the lobby of the hospital and cried. And that becomes the open door for the gospel to penetrate. Jesus won't go door to door to heal, but he's at one locality. It's your job as a born-again believer. And God expects you to be like the four friends, to take the initiative, to bring them in. The four friends brought the paralytic in, but they couldn't get in, so they went up. They were creative. They were so persistent. They find ways and means to break through the barrier so that they can lower their friends right to the feet of Jesus Christ. And church, that is our calling. That is our calling. Your barangay needs you. Your school needs you. Your family needs you. Your mother needs you. Your neighbors need you. Have that faith that grabs the attention of God. Let's sing.
I believe in Jesus. I believe He is the Son of God. I believe He died and rose again. I believe He paid for us all.
How many of you here today, you want to accept the salvation of Jesus Christ? You realize that you are rotten through and through. And for many years, you've been using your own effort, you've been using your own self-righteousness to gain the favor of God. But today you realize that's not the way. Someone has really gone ahead to be the perfect sacrifice of you. And all he asks is that you just believe in his atonement for you, and by faith accept him, and you are already justified. Are you that person that you know that if you die today, you will not go to heaven? And the gospel today is shared to you that Christ is here to give you this salvation, to pardon all the sins that you have done for the past, the present, and the future. And if you're the one, you want to accept Christ, can you raise your hand? And may I request Pastor Carlos here to come forward. How many of you today, you want to get right with God? You want the blessing of God to be right with you? Maybe God to you is like an iron roof. He cannot come to you, and you also cannot go up to him. But today, Jesus has spoke that hope. God the Father can come through, but all he needs from you is your faith. How many of you here, you want to accept Christ? You raise your hand. I will pray for you. Raise your hand. Don't be shy. Yes, I see the hand. Thank you. How many of you? Any more? Yes, another hand. Any more? Yes. Raise your hand high. Thank you. Yes. I told you. All right. Yes, another hand there. Thank you, brother. Praise God. Praise God. Okay, raise your hand high. Okay, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Can you come forward? Palapit sa front. Come. Come. We'll lead you to repentance prayer. Come. Palapit. Don't be shy. Remember I told you that you cannot say that you have faith, but then you don't show it. Faith that obeys. Come. We're going to lead you to the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You know, all of you that are here today, I don't care what sins they've committed. And I know that some of you, inside your heart, you are crying, God, I'm hopeless. My sin is overwhelming me. God, help me. My sin is paralyzing me. I'm making mistakes again and again, and I'm committing sin again and again, and I want to be free. And I can't be free because the sin nailed me to my situation. Today, I just want to give you the good news that Jesus has come, and Jesus will free you. And all he asks is you believe that his righteousness is here, his righteousness is credited to you. He wants to justify you, not based on your works, not based on your character, not based on your deeds. All he wants is that you just believe in him. Are you willing? Okay, if you're willing, I want all of you to follow this sinner's prayer. Okay, by Pastor Carlos in the Longo. And congregation, please encourage them by saying this sinner's prayer along with them. Encourage them. These are the wonderful souls that Jesus came to die. You know, our church has become so, you know, I don't know, so steeped in Phariseeism. You know, we only care for ourselves. We don't even rejoice when one soul comes and fails to accept Christ. So today, I just want all of you to encourage them. Encourage them. The church, first and foremost, is created for the gospel. It's the gospel, gospel. It's the good news. And I want to bring good news to all these brothers and sisters here. Jesus loves you, and you're not hopeless. There is a better day for you, a new beginning for you, provided when you accept him, you learn to walk in obedience by faith. By faith. And even if you fall, there's ample grace for you to rise again. There's forgiveness in Christ. Pastor Carlos.
Sunod lang kamo sa akon sa pangamuyo, Ilonggo ininga pangamuyo, pero ang pagsunod ninyo, halin sa inyong katagipusoon, ihambal ninyo, okay? Sundo ninyo, ha, mga muyo kita, langit nun nga amay.
Okay, congregation, madamo,
yun nga salamat, yes, sa imugugma sa akon. Salamat, gid, nga imugin padala ang imubugto nga anak, nga si Jesus Kristo, para sa akon. Jesus, kapalapit ako sa imo.
Amen.
Una sa tanan, nagapangayo sang kapatawaran sa akon yung mga sala. Salamat, gid, giginbuksan mo ang langit para sa akon. Sa akon huna-huna, sarado ang langit. Tungod sang akon mga sala, apang salamat nga ginbuksan mo ini, ginbuhoan mo ini, agud ibukbo sa akon ang imo nga grasya. Subo nga aga, ginakilala ko nga ako makasasala, nagpalayo sa imo, nagpagusto sa akon kabuhi. Subo nga aga, patawara ako, ginahinulsulan ko ang akon nga sala, ginahinulsulan ko ang akon hindi pagtuo, pagpati, kag pagtuman sa imo. Salamat kaginabaton ko ikaw, Jesus, nga akon personal, nga manluluwas, hindi lang manluluwas ang akon kalag, kundi Ginoo sang akon kabuhi. Sugod-subong, ikaw ang akon manugtabang, ikaw ang akon Ginoo, ikaw ang akon Dios. Ako anak sang Dios.
Amen.
Sugod-subong tungod kay Hesu Kristo. Salamat gid. Magpuyo ka sa akon tagipusoon. Giyahi ang akon kabuhi sa ngalan ni Jesus. Amen.
Father, right now I want to commit all these precious souls to your hands. Holy Spirit, you harvest them into the kingdom of God. Seal them by the salvation of Jesus Christ. Justify them by the blood of Christ. And every time when they hear the condemnation, let them plead the blood of Jesus against the devil, so that the voices, the evil suggestion in their mind will not perpetuate and will not win. And I pray that, Lord, you develop and you will nurture all these souls to grow in you. And Father, I just pray that you cover them by your blood, so that, Lord, the angels of death will not claim them, so that hell will not claim them, but the life of our eternal God will be upon them. And even the joy of their salvation will always be in their heart. Cleanse them of all their sin. In Jesus' name I ask and I pray. I want you to remain there standing. And right now, I'm going to open this altar call to those who are born again. Is there any one of you here today? You say, Pastor, I really need this faith that initiates. Pastor, I need this faith that persists. Pastor, I need this faith that justifies. I have fallen as a Christian and I need the justification of Jesus to be upon me again. And maybe some of you, you've been disobeying God. You need the Holy Spirit to pump in you the faith to obey. If that is you, I want you to come and join our dear friends here who come forward. Join the altar call. This is a call that we must obey by faith to take the step out from our seat and walk all the way to the front. So as the music are being played, I ask those of you evangelists, you need prayer that you will develop, that God will give you this four faith that grabs his attention. Then you come forward. Sing again. Thank you. Come, the altar is open for all.
I believe in Jesus.
in life. You are paralyzed by a trauma that happens to your life. And today, God says that He has taken the nail for you, so that the nails, the event that nailed you down, will be removed from your life, from your spirit man, and you can move forward today. You don't have to always, always dwell on your past, paralyzed by the traumatic past event. Brother, in the name of Jesus, you rise up and walk and move on and don't harp on the past. There's another sister here. You keep on condemning yourself because of the sins that you have done, and you think that your sin is greater than the grace of Jesus Christ. I say unto thee, this is the evil suggestion of the devil. It's the lie from the pit of hell. And the Spirit of God says to you, sister, rise up and put on the truth of God. And that is, there is no sin that Jesus cannot forgive. The greater your sin, the greater the grace of God. Be healed and be forgiven right now, sister. And there's some of you here today, you are paralyzed by the fear of men. You are so fearful of what men will say of you that you dare not be the true Christian of the living God. And today God says to you, child of the living God, I have put my spirit into your spirit man. I am greater than he that's of the world. The timidity spirit is not in you, but the spirit of boldness. I baptize you with the Holy Spirit so that you can speak forth the truth. In the name of Jesus, let the nail that paralyzes you, the fear of God, be off your entire being right now. And speak the gospel. Share the gospel. Obey by faith. Share by faith. And your loved ones will be healed. Your loved ones will be saved. There's another brother here. You are very, very, very taken down. You are very, very sickened. You are sick of yourself. You are very sick of yourself. You have already written yourself off from God. But God says, I will never let you go. I sent my son all the way from heaven, and my son persisted all the way for you. And today, he has put the same spirit of persistence in you. God asks you to release the persistence. Say, Lord, I'm willing to follow you again. I'm willing to rise from my own self and focus on Jesus. Focus on you. Focus on what you have done and not on myself. It's all about Jesus. It's not about you. In the name of Jesus, brother, rise. Rise from yourself and look at Jesus. Hallelujah. Shikarabarabasikiriyamdari. Church, HOD, pastors, zone pastors, elders, it's time that we take the initiative. It's time that we exercise the faith that initiate things, ministries, events, evangelism, helps for the people out there. We cannot be cozy. We cannot say we are rich, we are educated, we are clean people, we are cleansed people. We cannot mingle with the sinners outside. It's time our church rise up and bring those people who are lame, crippled, sick, demon-possessed, and bring them in. The healing to heal, the anointing to heal is right now. How many of you today, you are sick today? Raise your hand. How many of you, sakit ikau, raise your hands. Yes, raise your hand high. Yes, yes. Thank you, Lord. Can I request the pastors, the zone pastors? Okay, elders, if you can, please come and help me. Those of you that raise your hand, go there and lay your hands on them. Those of you that raise your hand, elders, Zach, please go. Okay, find someone, okay, and lay your hands on them. Okay, as I pray. Father, right now, I want to bring all these sick people to you. The heart problem, kidney problem, and even, oh God, Lord, a disjointed bone problem. And there's also the constant migraine, the constant dizziness and vertigo right now in the name of Jesus. And also, Lord, the low blood pressure. And there's some of you here today, you always have a fainting spell. You always feel that you're going to leap on. You always feel that there is a spirit, oh God, of infirmity that prevents you to stand up straight. In the name of Jesus, I ask for the anointing of healing to come upon you. Never let all these people free. Jesus Christ has taken all the blows, the 39 stripes. He was stripped. He was beaten so that you can be healed. He has taken the 39 lashes of the diseases, major diseases, and today you'll be healed. Be healed right now in the name of Jesus. Say no to the devil. I'm not going to cough anymore. I'm no more going to have a lung problem or asthma problem, bronchitis. In the name of Jesus, I curse all the diseases and I release the blessing of a good body, a healthy body upon you. Good health will come upon you in the name of Jesus. There's a lady here, you're very fearful of dying. You're very afraid to die. Is it because you are not sure of your salvation? I say to you, let yourself get right with God in your salvation first, so that in the event there's time for you to go physically in your death, you are ready. Those of you that are fearful to die is because you are not assured in your salvation. Today, salvation is brought to you. You have to secure the salvation of Jesus Christ. Because when your soul is saved, even your body dies, your soul lives forever with God in heaven. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let's give the Lord a clap offering. Father, right now, I pray that you will impart to all of us here a faith that initiates. I pray that, Father, right now, in the name of your Son, you impart a faith that persists. Father, right now, I pray that you impart to all my people here a faith that justifies and a faith that obeys you through the power of the Holy Spirit, oh God, Lord. We want to have all these four kinds of faith that can grab your attention, oh God, Lord, so that miracles will happen, so that life will take a good turn for the glory of God. We give you the glory, oh God, Lord, and I release all this gift of faith to all the people here. In Jesus' name I ask and I pray. And I want the musician to play the last song of the worship song that Roland led just now. The last song.
Oh, the glory.
Yes. Thank you. Let's sing and praise the Lord.
Oh, the glory of your name. The splendor of your name. And none can compare with the power of that name.
So much. Thank you for ministering. Thank you for delivering the word of God so with such clarity. Thank you for healing your people. Thank you for people that receive you as your personal savior. Thank you for setting the people free from all bondages, God. Thank you for reminding them that you are a great God that can come into the life to help them. We thank you for all this. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you very much.